So when I was a kid, I had the biggest crush on the pastor's daughter of all people at the church I grew up in. And so I remember being a kid, and we had a driveway in the front yard, and I'd be playing basketball in the driveway, and I'm not that good of a basketball player, but it was fun. It was good for me to do that after school. And I'd be shooting hoops, you know, but I remember thinking, okay, well, I really got a crush on this girl, so if I just pray, then God will grant me the desires of my heart, and one day I'll marry her. So I asked God, God, help me to marry her one day. I don't know how, just help me. And I said, okay, God, if I make this next shot, then I know you would have heard my prayer and granted me that wish, and one day I'll marry her. So I didn't want to make an easy shot, though, so I would back up like 40 feet away, and I'd go like, boom, you know, and I'd throw it, and of course, I missed it. But I kept shooting until I made it because I wanted to know that God heard my prayer and he was going to grant me that wish, and one day I would indeed end up marrying that girl. Well, we ended up dating, actually, in our 20s, but I didn't end up marrying her. And looking back, I'm actually glad I didn't, for undisclosed reasons. But like Garth Brooks said, sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And I'm like, hallelujah on that one. Thank you, Lord, for not answering that prayer. Thank you. But have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever prayed to God and you wondered why he didn't come through for you like you wanted him to? Why God did not answer your prayer? What, if that's the case, if God doesn't answer prayer, then why would we pray at all? What's the point of prayer? Why even bother with it? I could be doing something else with my time but praying. Why even bother if God doesn't answer? Well, just because some of our prayers don't get answered doesn't mean prayer is useless. In fact, prayer is more about changing ourselves than it is about God changing our circumstances. Prayer is not about changing God, it's about changing me. So no matter what you currently think about prayer, it must be a critical part of your life. Because if prayer is not a critical part of your life, you will end up just going through the motions of religion. You'll play the religious game your whole life. You might have said a prayer when you were 10 years old for Jesus to come in your heart, but it is not actually changing you from the inside out. You're just playing a religious game. You're not actually connecting and experiencing the resurrected Christ. Have you ever had decaf coffee? Decaf coffee is like coffee with the soul sucked out of it. Decaf coffee is like a facade, a mask. It isn't real coffee. Well, religion without prayer is like decaf coffee. Religion without prayer is like religion with the soul sucked out of it. There's no real benefit of decaf coffee. I like the caffeine high. When I get that caffeine high, I feel like I could conquer the world. It's amazing. I get so much stuff done. Most of my sermons are done when I'm on a caffeine high, and it's awesome. But decaf coffee has no benefit. Religion without prayer is like a cup of decaf. It's like religion with the soul sucked out of it. So if prayer is not an important part of your life, if it's not incorporated into the daily rhythms of your life, you're just going to go through the motions and play the religious game. And you know what? The Christian life will not work for you. The Christian life will not work for you if you're not connected to God and if you're not experiencing the presence of God, because it's just going to be a religion and it's not going to have the soul of Christ in your heart. It's not going to give you that deep benefit like real coffee does, like real religion does when you're connected to Christ. Now, the Bible has a few things to say about prayer, and we're going to look at a few verses. And Annie, if you have the next slide for me. Okay, here we go. Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Psalm 102 says, he will respond to the prayer of the destitute or the desperate. He will not despise their plea. May my prayer, Psalm 141, may my prayer be set before you like incense. Incense was like this aroma that God smells. May my prayer be set before you, God, like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice to you, O God. And then in Matthew, the famous passage where Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:9-13, says, this then is how you should pray. You've all heard this, but this is such a powerful, powerful first two lines. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want you to focus on the first couple lines here. Look at what's going on. He's saying, focus your prayer on God first, our Father in heaven. It's about our identity as sons and daughters, first of all, when you come to God. I come to you, God, as a son. I come to you as a daughter. Therefore, I'm going to ask you with boldness and confidence. Next, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Set apart is your name. Sacred is your name. Your reputation is my utmost importance. Your honor is my utmost importance. Your name is tied to your reputation. It's tied to your character and your attributes. So when you say set apart, holy is your name, you're saying, God, I honor your name. I honor your character. I honor who you are. I find myself within you. I find my identity with you. So first of all, you're my Father and holy is your name. Now, what's next? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice it takes three lines just to get to them for Jesus to say, talk about yourself. Then it says, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. The first two stanzas there are all about God and his kingdom. It's not about us. First of all, it's all about God. See, true prayer is hard. True prayer is based on submitting to God's will and not making God do your will. See, so many times in my life, I have tried to force God to do something I wanted him to do. God, help me to marry that girl one day as a little 12-year-old shooting basketballs, not knowing anything of what I'm talking about. Forcing God to do something that I wanted him to do. God's probably just laughing at me, like, this little kid, he doesn't know anything. And I'm so glad he did laugh at me. Like I said, undisclosed reasons. But true prayer is submitting to God's will for your life, not forcing God to do what you want God to do. Jesus' example says to pray for his kingdom to come and mine to go, for his will to be done and mine to go. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again, because if you didn't remember nothing else and you're 80 years old, I want you to remember this. Whenever you say thy kingdom come, you have to also say my kingdom go. You can't have your kingdom and God's kingdom at the same time. Because until you realize that Jesus is the best thing this world has to offer, the Christian life will not work for you. The Christian life won't work for you because you're still convinced that there's something outside those doors. There's some club in Hollywood. There's some boyfriend or girlfriend or some online thing or whatever that's better than Jesus. And when that's the case, the Christian life isn't really going to work for you. You're just going to play the religious game. Like decaf coffee, you won't have the soul of religion. You won't have the soul of the Christian religion. You're just going to go through the motions. I like how John Ortberg says, Jesus never told anybody to pray, get me out of here so I could go up there. No, he said, make up there happen down here. God, make the way you like the world to be run, make it how it is up there, perfect and holy and peaceful and wholeness and completeness, make that actually occur down here. That's what it means by thy kingdom come. His way of doing things. The kingdom of God is just a fancy word, which means what God wants to happen actually happens. Because where Jesus is king, then his way goes, right? Not your way. See, you can't be king and God be king at the same time, right? It's either his kingdom or your kingdom. So when you say thy kingdom come, you also have to say my kingdom go. That means my ego has to go. My pride has to go. My jealousy has to go. My envy has to go. All the things that hold me back from a true right relationship with Christ have to go, have to be left on the altar, left at the foot of the cross so I could get to know Jesus better. Because all those things inhibit me from truly experiencing and connecting and communicating with the divine, with Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, my kingdom go. God's kingdom shows up whenever we as redeemed people do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Seeking goodness in our families, seeking goodness in our communities, in our relationships, in our friendships, and also in our bodies and minds. See, the change God wants to see in the world often starts with us. Think of it this way. You're looking out a window and you're praying for all the things out the window to happen. You're like, God, I see all these things out a window that I want you to change. But oftentimes in prayer, you know what happens? God changes that window into a mirror. so you could see yourself. And now he's saying, first change yourself, then the world will change naturally as a result of you changing yourself. The window turns into a mirror because God wants the change to start with you. That's why his kingdom has to resonate in your heart. His will has to resonate in your heart. He has to be on the throne of your heart. He can't be competing with all the other gods in your life, all the other idols in your life. If he is truly king, then you cannot be king. Robert Law says, prayer is a mighty instrument. It's a mighty instrument. But it's not an instrument for getting your will done in heaven. It's an instrument for getting God's will done on earth. Billy Graham once said, the purpose of prayer is for us to be put in a position where we could be used by God. Where we could actually be used by God. So prayer, again, is not about changing God. Prayer is about changing me. Prayer is about getting me to change. And when I change, now I do what God wants me to do. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Prayer is more about changing ourselves than it is about changing our circumstances. So this is the first aspect of prayer that I'm going to cover tonight. But we're going to move on. Because I want to let you know that, look, I say prayer is more about changing me than it is about changing our circumstances. But God does, for sure, without a doubt, indeed, he does change our circumstances. He does heal. He does do amazing things in this world. In fact, in James 5:16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, which conveys that we can actually petition God and pray to God for him to intervene in our world. And according to God's sovereignty, I have no idea when or why or how he chooses to heal sometimes. He chooses to prevent illness, prevent tragedy sometimes, and other times he just allows bad things to happen because we're in a fallen world and stuff just keeps on rolling. It's like a snowball effect. Things just happen and it sucks and it's hard. And we wonder, why God, why would you heal this person and not this person? Why would you prevent that tragedy but not this tragedy? I don't know. But I know primarily prayer is more about changing yourself than it is about changing God or having him change your circumstances. So, prayer is about connection to God. Connection to God. Establishing and reestablishing connection. Because what happens? You establish connection, right? We've all probably established some type of connection to God. But what happens? You go through life and you lose that connection. So prayer is coming back to reestablish that connection with God. To plug in your iPhone once again. To charge it up again. It got depleted. You got depleted. You got to plug it in. You got to get charged again. You yourself, your soul has to get charged again. How good and useful is your phone if it has a dead battery? It's not that useful. You're not that useful. You're not effective for the world if you have a dead battery in your soul. If God's not within you, if God's not fanning that flame within you. So prayer is like communion with God. Prayer is like, it's like when you're sitting at home on a couch and you just got your heart broken and you're like, you know what, I just need a friend to come over and hang out with me. Maybe watch something on Netflix, just Netflix and chill, right? You're just hanging out. Prayer is like just, you need to hang out with God. Just sit on the couch, hang out with God. Prayer is that community. It doesn't necessarily need communication, verbal communication. In fact, I love what Lisa Turquist, great author, haven't read her books, but I've heard good things, but I found this quote. She says, the reality is my prayers don't change God, but I'm convinced prayer changes me. Praying boldly boots me out of that stale place of religious habit. That's what we were talking about, going through the motions of religion, and into authentic connection with God himself. It's not about changing God. It's about changing me. It gets me out of this stale religious state of going through the motions, and it actually connects me with God himself. We often think that praying is just about obedience. Okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I need to obey you. But in order to obey God, you first have to listen to God. Because if you say, thy will be done, but you're not listening to what his will is, you can't obey him. So it's about listening. And I love what Mother Teresa says. Dan Rather, a CBS news anchor, interviewed Mother Teresa. And he asked her what she said during her prayers. And she answered, I listen. So Dan Rather turned the question around and asked, well then, what does God say when you pray? Mother Teresa smiled with confidence, and answered, he listens. Wait, You pray and you say you listen. You listen. And then what does God do? Well, he listens too. Okay, so where's the communication? Well, there doesn't necessarily have to be any. You're sitting on the couch with a broken heart. Your friend comes over. You don't need your friend to say anything. You just need to be aware that your friend is there. You just need to be aware that you're not alone, that you're aware of your friend's presence. Sometimes that's all prayer is. It's just being aware of the presence of God next to you on the couch, comforting you, saying, I'm here for you, even without words. You just know, I know you're there. And it's walking in that state of mind. It's walking in that flow where the Holy Spirit is within you and you're walking in this flow. That's why Paul says, if you ever heard this verse, pray without ceasing. I remember asking my brother one time when I was a kid, dude, how could Paul ask the church to pray without stopping? Never-ending prayers, blah, blah, blah. Father, I need you here. I need you. Bless this food. Father, Father, help this to work out in my life. Help me to get an A in this class, blah, blah. How do you do that constantly? We can't. What he means is operate from a mind state, a state of mind that is in constant communion with God, where you're always going back to the connection you have with God. That's hard to do. And that's why I've said this before too, but that song, Let Us Become More Aware of Your Presence, that's really what it's all about, you guys. It's going through your life more and more and more aware of God's presence. And you know what? I know this is true. I speak from experience because when I was your age, I thought, okay, as long as I pray before I go to bed, during my devotions, or as long as I pray in the morning, then I'm okay. But what I've realized is I need God so much more than one time in the morning and one time at night. I need to be talking to God throughout the day. I need to know and be aware that my heart is in a position to be aligned with the will of God, in a position to connect to God. And his Holy Spirit is flowing and working underneath the surface in my subconscious, in my unconscious. He's doing things inside my heart that I don't even know. And that's what the Bible refers to as the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And all that means, it's a fancy word for the Holy Spirit's renewing you. He's refreshing you. He's rejuvenating you. He's making you more like Jesus. So it's that constant awareness, that constant connection. Prayer is about changing us, not about changing God. Listening. Listening. Prayer is about listening. Listening is vital for any relationship. How many of you guys would have good relationships with your boyfriend or girlfriend if you never listened to them, right? It's about listening. You have to listen. They're going to be like, dude, did you not hear anything I just said? You're like, oh, yeah, that coworker was bothering you today. No, that was yesterday. You're not listening. You have to listen in any good relationship, and it's the same with God. Like Mother Teresa, I listen, he listens. We don't necessarily have to talk. Martin Luther says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, started the Reformation. You guys have heard of him. To be a Christian without prayer is not possible. It's no more possible than to be alive without breathing. In other words, I created this little slide with a guy in the ocean. Prayer sustains our souls like oxygen sustains our lungs. Prayer is like oxygen in our faith. It sustains us. It keeps us going. You can't breathe without prayer. You can't have a relationship with Christ without prayer. Prayer is the lifeblood of our spiritual lives. It keeps our spiritual lives alive. Like I said, if prayer is not a vital, critical part of the daily rhythms, of the daily rituals in which you get up and do every day, we all have these rituals and rhythms. If prayer and consistent connection to God is not part of that flow that you have every day, that rhythm of life, you're just going through the motions. And like I said, the Christian life will not work for you because you're still going to be convinced that there's something out there better than what's in here. But the God of the Bible, Jesus says, you have everything you need already within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You have access at all times, 24/7, to everything you could ever need already right here. You're insecure. You're afraid. You're stressed out. Whatever it is, you have access to the power to overcome that right here, right now. It's about awareness. It's about presence. It's about connection to the divine, connection to the Spirit of God living inside of you. That's true prayer. It's walking with God. It's communing with God. There's a guy who got out of the war system, out of the army. His name was Nicholas Herman, but he decided to give his life to Jesus. He decided to devote his life to God and follow Christ. And he joined a monastery and became a monk. And he took the name, they give people names at these monasteries, he took the name Brother Lawrence. Some of you might have heard of him, but Brother Lawrence got kind of demoted. He got kind of the worst job. He was a dishwasher the rest of his life. But people would travel from all over to come see Brother Lawrence wash dishes because he realized that you could experience God's presence in the mundane, in the rituals of life. You could experience God's presence washing dishes just as you can on your knees before an altar, taking communion and lifting your hands in worship and praying. You could experience the same presence of God doing dishes as you can right here in a church. And so people came from all over to watch him do dishes. And he did these dishes, and he has this great quote, and he says, "The time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of the kitchen, while seven persons are calling at me and telling me to do things, I possess God in as great peace and tranquility as if I were upon my knees taking the blessed sacrament." So the third and final aspect of prayer that I want to share with you today is that prayer makes us more aware of God's presence. Like Brother Lawrence, you can practice the presence of God. You can practice being aware of God's presence within you. Whether you're at work as a waiter, as a waitress, whether you're at school, listening to your professor, you could have this underlying current of energy flowing within you. This underlying Spirit of God renewing you. It's 24/7 accessible. And like I said, I speak from experience. I wasn't always like this, but now I truly know that there are a lot of days where I do have a consistent connection with God. And it's, you know, it ebbs and flows. Some days I feel like I'm not connected to God at all. Other days I feel like I'm really walking in the Spirit. And the Bible tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So sometimes I really do feel like I'm walking in the Spirit. And there's this nice Holy Spirit flowing within me. And I'm just like alive and I'm constantly talking to God internally. There's this ongoing presence, awareness of his presence within me. Other days I feel like he's nowhere to be found. And it's mostly because I've allowed my thoughts and my actions to go away from his will and his kingdom. I've let my pride get the best of me. I've let whatever else get the best of me. And so I start disconnecting from God. So prayer makes us more aware of God's presence. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." We live and move and have our being in Christ. And I love what Psalm 139 says. "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." There's nowhere you could run where God is not with you. So you might as well be aware of his presence. It's like ignoring somebody right next to you, you know. He's right next to you no matter where you go, no matter what sin you caught yourself into, no matter what sin you're going to get into tonight or tomorrow night or next year or 50 years from now. He's always with you. Once you've accepted Christ, you're sealed to the day of redemption, the Bible says. He's going to be with you. He's either a little lighter, he's like a flame a little lighter, or he's like a bonfire inside of you. But either way, he's going to be with you, so you might as well practice being more and more aware of his presence. Because it's going to give you life. It's going to give you caffeine, like real coffee. It's not going to be like decaf, just religion with the soul sucked out of it. It's going to be like real coffee. It's going to give you life, vitality, nourishment, renewal, rejuvenation, sanctification. It's going to transform you into the person God intends for you to be. How many of you want to get to the end of your life and realize, I never actually transformed myself into the person Christ wanted me to be? I kept disconnecting. I kept turning him away. I kept saying, my kingdom come, my will be done. I don't care about your kingdom. I don't care about your will. My pride is too important for me. My jealousy, my envy, my desires, my wants, my needs are too important for me. Not your will be done, but my will be done. See, Jesus didn't just tell us to pray this way. He actually demonstrated this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was about to get crucified. He said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He actually demonstrated this in the most stressful time of his life when he was dripping drops of blood, sweating drops of blood, and he still was able to demonstrate to practice what he preached earlier, a few years earlier, when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "This then is how you ought to pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." So, what did we talk about tonight? This is what we talked about. We said prayer is primarily about changing us, not God. We said it's about connecting to God or listening. And lastly, we said it's about becoming more aware of his presence that is always with us throughout the day. So I'm going to invite David to come back up. And this is what I want you to do during this time as we transition into a time of worship. I want you to think about your life, your week, your days, how you go through the rhythms of your life, how you go through the motions of your life. How often are you aware of God's presence? How often are you praying to God? Are you just playing a religious game? Is this not real for you? Is this not like a fire inside of you? If it's not, then I would just invite you to ask God to change you. Ask God, say, "God, I want to pray, but first I want to pray that you would change me. And then I'll look out the window." Transition the mirror to a window so I could finally look out the window because I'm changed now. Now I could see the world. Or if it's just a window and you keep seeing the world, ask God to transition that window from you just praying about everything else. And some of those prayers are good, of course. We want to pray for the world. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for the world. That's a vital thing. But primarily, we also need to make sure we're right with God too, that we're praying for ourselves, that we're being built up in the Spirit, that we're being encouraged ourselves. Because you're much more effective in the world if you are communicating with Christ yourself. You're much more effective. So practice praying three different times during the day this week. Just practice. Practice being attentive to Christ. This is all I want you to do this week. This is the homework, so to speak. Like, practice being attentive to Christ throughout the day, because that's what prayer is. It's being attentive, aware of Christ's presence throughout the day. Just practice that. Try three times throughout your day this week just to be like, "Oh, I was aware of Christ when I was in my class taking notes, or when I was talking to my professor, or when I was talking to my mom and dad. I wanted to get angry. I wanted to get frustrated, but I was aware of God's presence saying, 'Hey, I'm with you. You could do this. You could be respectful. You could talk with patience. I'm with you. You could do this.'" That's awareness. That's being attentive to Christ. That's praying. That's communicating with God. And during this last song as well, Larissa and I are going to be up here, and we're going to be available for prayer. If you want us to pray for you for anything, we're going to be available. And then lastly, in your small groups, at the end, I just want you to get together with one other person and pray for each other. Just ask them for their prayer requests, and you reveal your prayer requests, and you guys just pray for each other at the end of the life group tonight. But what would your life look like if you made prayer a priority? Is connection to God even important to you? Is prayer even important to you? Is it a priority in your life? If not, how's that working out for you? If it's not important for you, if it's not a priority in your life, how is that working out for you? How is your life when you're disconnected to God? It's not as good as it could be, I'll tell you that. So, let's pray together. Father God, help us to be more aware of your presence. Help us to pray more. Help us to connect with you more. Help us to love you more. Help us to be on fire for you, God, to walk and talk with you, even in our subconscious, even deep within, that we would just have this underlying force from you, God, this underlying spirit from you, God, that you would energize us and sanctify us, allowing us to become more like your Son, Jesus. We need you, God. Conform us to your will. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our hearts as it is in heaven, in our minds and our spirits as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever pray. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you're so worthy, Lord, worthy of every breath we could ever live for you.
Step by step, God. God, we want to build our lives upon you, Jesus.
Oh, it's our prayer, Lord, to be born to you, Jesus.
Let's just sing this together. I will build my life.
only